Fretfin Radio, this is Niccolò Comotti here at Torino 32nd edition, and today I'm honored to be joined by Julian Temple. Julian, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad, how are you?
Yeah.
You're kind of here for the big special guest. In fact, you will receive the Gran Premio Torino. There's a little retrospective as well of your work. How's it been going so far? I know that you just had the press conference, which was kind of draining maybe, but we try to keep it light now.
Yeah, it's good, because you get very bored very quickly with your own voice in one way, but I haven't done it for a while. I did it in Mexico in the summer, so I haven't heard myself talk so much for 3 months. So you do learn a bit about what you think by doing this, which is quite useful.
In fact, I'd like to know how you think about something that, you know, I always had on the back of my mind. Some people hate this kind of word, I don't know why, but I kind of like it also because it reminded me of Brazilian music, and I know you're working on something as well, which is related to that, and it's that thing called nostalgia, you know, the big weird word, some people like, some not. When I see your films and I kind of see your takes, I always wonder about the past and the present, you know, what's been the kind of evolution of it. We can talk about music, we can also can talk about, you know, the place you're from, London. So when you actually look back at your work, you know, for these kind of occasions as well, how do you see it? How do you see this sort of development of yourself? Would you expect, you know, would you actually have wondered that when it was back in 1979 or, you know, in 1986 or whatever, like right now as it is in 2014?
It's strange, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, do you? Which is the point of being alive, really. I think if you knew this was going to be the way it turned out, you wouldn't do it, you know, you'd try and do something else. But I think the work that I do, in a way, in the back of my head, I'd like to join it all up and make one long, you know, 50-hour film of it all, because they are kind of connected. I think they're all trying to make sense of who I am, where I'm from, why I am the way I am. Mm-hmm. Somehow that is really what my films are about. They're very personal to me. And I, you know, nostalgia is a very amorphous concept. I tend to think the only real point of doing films about that time is all the times that I've lived through, is to make questions about the future, is really the point. It's not really like a warm bath that I love to lie in, the nostalgia of the 70s, you know. I like warm baths, by the way, but steam baths particularly, but I'd like to see it as a way of reaching people who increasingly are not allowed to know about their own social history, where they come from. I think kids today don't necessarily know enough about what happened before, which worries me because it makes them less powerful in terms of determining their own future, you know. I do see history as a kind of weapon for the future rather than a place to go and sleep in, you know.
And that's actually a key point as well, the fact of inform, you know, the informing side of it. It's like, you know, remembering also for the, you know, for the next generations.
Yeah.
But how do you see actually nowadays? Because in a way, how I see it, especially with even filmmaking, but we can talk about everything cultural or just, as I said, informative.
Yeah.
It's constantly the present. You know, everything is informed like by the split second, and there's no time to actually form something that, you know, through time, such as, for example, the punk movement back in the late 70s. We haven't had anything, you know, that actually managed to be founded on some solid sort of things that actually developed in the through time.
Yeah.
And how do you see? Do you think it's still possible? And is it sort of that once again the kind of nostalgia of like hoping for the next kind of generation? But you know, I'm not that old, and I'm hoping already for the next generation, which is not a good sign.
Well, you know, I do feel that some ways punk is still like a, you know, when they used to throw a glove on the ground, a gauntlet, and someone's supposed to come along and pick it up and take a challenge from punk. And I don't think it's happened, really. I mean, you know, there have been interesting cultural things around music, whether it's hip-hop or, you know, certainly in the late 80s, there was the rave thing in England that was interesting. But I don't somehow I've always thought it was got to happen again. Something has got to happen in that way, and it hasn't happened. And now I'm getting a bit worried because I think time's running out, you know, because I do feel we are, you know, creating our own extinction as human beings. And I would expect some kind of renegade action from young people to say, stop that. You know, I want to remain human. I don't want to lose what we are. And mm-hmm. I think there's a big danger that that's what's happening. Not all bad, you know. I think the whole digital world is full of incredible potential as well as, you know, dead ends and danger. And but it doesn't have to be through music. I don't think it could be through music now, but something should happen in response to the future, I think, and reclaiming the future from where it's heading, in a way, seems quite important to me. And the only people who can do that are young people, and they seem to lack the kind of sense of acting on their desperation, or they don't seem to have the ability to get angry enough to do things today. You know, there was a lot of anger in the punk movement. There was a lot of boredom as well in terms of what was happening. And there was a sense that you, in order to do something, you had to find out for yourself your relation to the world around you rather than accept what you're told. And I don't know if I'm making much sense, but I think people should really be a lot more angry and a lot more creative with their anger than they seem to be able to be now.
What I believe, just to kind of conclude, about so to kind of shift it into the realm of environments, because what I believe maybe like the this generation is equally as lost as maybe was in the 70s, but it's the outcomes of as fragmented as, you know, and beyond imagination actually.
Yeah.
And also this brings to a sort of idea of like in little islands of movements and rebels. London sometimes is this big island of constant creativity. Having said that, there's a lot going on. It's been going on for a while. I kind of know London. I've been there for 8 years. Mm. But still, you know, I'm kind of, I could say that I'm nostalgic for the, you know, for 2007, for a little thing that never happened, or something that happened in 2012, or and so forth. How do you instead, how is your bigger kind of span of time as well in London? You're a Londoner, you've seen it really change, and London's definitely, it resembles that as a place, you know, this sort of ever evolving and ever losing place that never really kind of manages to go somewhere.
Yeah, I made a film about London, and you know, in doing that, I realized the London that I grew up in hasn't existed for a long time. It's another planet, another time, another dimension, really, from today. Not necessarily better or worse, you know, just so different. I mean, it was a very white Victorian city, you know, with fog everywhere. And now London is, you know, an incredible collision of different cultures that gives it an extraordinary energy on one level. But on the other hand, these cultures are living separately within London. They're not really fusing into something new yet. You see it in the schools where, you know, you've got 70 different nationalities in one, you know, year of a school, and you see them playing together in the playground, and you see a new thing evolving. But I don't think it's happened quite yet. That's I hope it happens in time to do something with it, because the danger is, you know, you get iPhones put in our necks or whatever, and we forget that we're human beings in the end, you know. And I think that coming together of all these different cultures from across the world in one place like London, and it's happening in other cities as well, is going to be the best chance to create a new sense of creativity that can stand up for, you know, the kind of emotional space that a human being needs, you know.
And well, let's hope to pick up that glove somehow, sometime. Thank you very much, Julian, for being with us.
Okay, my pleasure.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.